for the morning to your pizza. You smoothie, me ice cold pizza. Cafe ole, latte da. You do the Zumba, but I do not. Give me like half a marathon. I'll give you the gospel of St. John. Hits me like a wake up bomb. Cause we both know that it's mercy flows in the morning. I'm serious.
I've been trying to figure out what it means to be human, flesh and bone, the spirit and the soul. If I cannot earn your love, I try to measure up. Why do I think I'd lose it in the blues? Somehow you see through my heart, and you welcome me with open arms, just as I am. In the good and the bad, you still understand, and you never stop loving me. Just as I am, with the heart of the Father, and grace like no other, you never stop loving me, just as I am. You've been patient with my wonder, always knowing what I need. With a gentle hand, you show me where to go. But there hasn't been a moment you won't call it to me. I heard your voice and now I'm coming home. Just as I am, in the good and the bad, you still understand that you never stop loving me. Just as I am, with the heart of the Father, and grace like no other, oh, you never stop loving me. Just as I am, I just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you for loving me. I just want to say thank you, thank you. Thank you for loving me. I just want to say thank you. Thank you. Thank you for loving me. I just want to say thank you. Thank you. Thank you for loving me. Just as I am. In the good and the bad, you still understand, oh, you never stop loving me, just as I am, with the heart of the Father, just as I am, just as I am.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, just as I am. Boy, isn't that a great song? Father God, I thank you this morning. I truly, truly thank you. And the reason I thank you so much, God, is your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. brothers and sisters, I got to try to explain to you what happened yesterday, but it's not complicated. I had some people here for ministry, and it happened to be a pastor and his wife. And I noticed that the day before, I mean, I was puzzled. I was actually puzzled by what was happening to them. I knew it was witchcraft, but I was thrown off. I was thrown off by so many different signals. And so they were here, and the peculiar thing is, yesterday was the third day. Now, I had been thinking about this program that came on TV. It used to be called 48 Hours. And in the back of my mind, I knew that I had 72 hours. Okay, that's this module that God had given me to get people free and filled in 72 hours. Thank you, Jesus. So I'm looking at this pastor, and I'm looking at his wife, and I'm looking at the fact that they got some better. Now, they happen to live about almost to California. And they drove here straight. And I knew they needed to rest. But I didn't know that this torment had been going on for 14 months. And in that 14 months, the devil had caused them to lose almost everything. The pastor is also a teacher, an educator. And he comes from a family of educators. But in this time, they had gone from almost middle class upper to almost to sleeping in their church. And the wife was getting worse. It was so bad that they drove here one time and went to my old office and drove all the way back home. Hopeless. I never saw them that time. So here I have them, and because I was ministering to them, excuse me, and trying to find the answer from God as to what is this? Why are they suffering like this? And it's totally unscriptural. So other people were here while they were here too. Other people were here. So I had them on one side and other people on another side. And as I was seeking God, and I just told him, I just said, stop. I got to go to God. I've got to go to God. I've got to understand what's happening here. So finally, God begins to open up something. And I started it on the tagline. I started talking about it. And then all night, I pursued this. So yesterday, I stayed up all night before Now, I'm also dealing with other folks' problems, and God is revealing and exposing things from three different areas, but they're all somewhat interrelated. So I finally got the breakthrough, and I called him up and I said, look, you're about to be set free. I said, I'm going to release this thing. I said, over the TED line. I said, and you can just be on the TED line. Well, in getting this breakthrough, I began to feel stuff like being stuck in the head with a knife and in my head, and I began to feel, and I don't go by what I feel. You understand that? I've never done that. I go by what the Word says and what the Holy Spirit reveals. And I started. So I said, what is this? And all of a sudden, right as I'm coming on the tail line, it felt like a toothache over my whole body. Now, I'm dealing with some other people at the same time that have witchcraft in the workplace. But I thought that it was just one person. Okay, I'm dealing with somebody, but the witchcraft in the workplace is serious too, because it's coming in from Mexico with the people with the witchcraft in the workplace. It's being sent up from Mexico. And all of these people are dealing with witchcraft that offers blood sacrifices, be they animal and or human. So the pain, and the Lord say, shut the tail line down. Get off the tail line. Now, in this past month, God has sent people here and told me, don't look in their face. I mean, God has allowed people to come here and tell me, don't look in their face and don't minister to them. Tell them you can't help them for various reasons. So I've been following God's instructions. The pain was so excruciating that I was screaming out, help me, Jesus. And I had Brother Joe here and Jose. Now, as I began to pray, this pain lifted. It didn't just stop. It lifted. And the more I prayed, the more it lifted. And finally, there wasn't one ounce of pain. So I said, man, this is different here. What is this? God said, have you noticed the past four times I've given you revelation, and every time you have said you were going to put it on the TED line, I cut it off? I said, yeah, I did notice that, and I wondered why you were doing that. He said, because no longer will you provide information for witches, be they Christian witches or be they secular witches. I said, what? He said, yeah, they've been tracking you and they've been listening and they've been using what you say, because knowledge I'm giving you that they don't have any right to use, but it works because everything I give you works. I said, okay. He said, you're not going to do that anymore ever again. I said, God, if that's what this pain was about, you got it. I said, Why did I have to be so hard-headed and rebellious and stubborn that you had to allow that to come upon me for me to get this message? He said, I wanted you to get it with conviction. He said, I did not stop it. He said, but that came from me. He said, because you kept getting ready to give out this revelatory information. And I said, well, isn't that what you give it to me for? He said, yeah, but I've changed. I've changed, and you got to change with me. I said, okay. He said, now call them up at the hotel and tell them to come over here to the sanctuary. I called them up. You know what? They weren't even up listening at 6 a.m. as I was about to give that, but some witches were. They were over there asleep at 6 a.m. because they said they had such a hard night all night long. Because those witches knew that those people were here and they were about to be free. So I said to them, okay. So then the Lord say, no, watch. And I began to minister to them. And the wife said, I said, do you believe you have demons? She said, no. I said, uh-huh. I said, but you know something is wrong with you, right? She said, that's why I'm here. I said, but you say, she said to me, Taylor, she said, I could not have a demon. I could not have demons. And you know what? I'm at the point when people say this to me now, I just wait for the reaction. She said, I love Jesus, and I know Jesus would not allow a demon to be on me. Look, I actually kind of laughed. I said, now all this time, you actually don't believe that you can have a demon. I said, so who do you think is doing all this stuff to you and got you almost in a mental institution? The devil. I said, okay. I said, you think Satan himself is doing this to you? I said, how many souls have you won to the kingdom? I said, surely you won more than Billy Graham. She looked at me. I said, surely you got to be greater than Jesus. And demons plagued him throughout his 3 years of ministry. They just never called themselves demons, and they never identified themselves. But if you know the works and the strategies and how Satan does things, you know that Satan plagued and tormented Jesus. No. Now, this was a well-meaning lady, been a pastor's wife for a lot of years, brothers and sisters. So I said, okay, I said, we're going to do this deliverance. And the pastor, bless his heart and bless her heart too, they got free after this. I said, I had told him, I said, you got to be delivered too. I said, when your wife is going through this deliverance, I said, are you going through deliverance with her, or are you off to the side praying for her? He said, I'm off to the side praying for her. I said, well, you the problem. I said, the Lord said your wife been delivered many times, but the demons transferred from her to you. and then they wait for her to get delivered, and then they transfer 7 more of everything that came out that went into you. He said, oh, my God. I said, yeah, that's the way it works. So then I started doing deliverance on both of them, and I cast out demons for 1.5 hours straight on both of them. And then she would sit there and say, oh, no, not that person. They're too nice. I can't. And she made me mad. I said, look, I'm getting ready to throw you out of here. One more time, you out. I'm throwing you out because you frustrating me. And then you're going to leave all them demons piled up on me, and I got to fight them because you unloosed them on me. So then she said, okay, I'm all in. And I said, do you realize you're not my problem? Do you realize you're here because you have a problem? And I just agreed to help God on earth help you. I said, I'm not benefiting from you having demons or not having demons. Because in a few minutes, you're getting ready to get up and get out of here. And finally, come to find out, there the pastor left one church and went to pastor this church, which is the biggest root working church in that part of Texas they live in. The floor where they put the church name in the floor, and I said, why would you put a mosaic in the floor with the church name on it so people can walk on it when they come in anyway? Why would you do something like that? See, the pastor who died was the biggest obeah for money hire sorcerer in that part of Texas. The minute that they finally told me his name, I said, oh, my God, Obia? Every woman in the church had come against the pastor's wife because they didn't like her. And then because they had decided that the new pastor needed to get rid of the wife he had so one of the women in the church could become his wife. And boy, did they unloose on them. I just kept on ministering. But I was amazed. They done went all over the world. Been ministered to by a lot of people. And it was hidden right in their face. Because not only do they do roots, do they do Obia, do they do voodoo, and do they do Santeria in this church? But the new pastor didn't recognize and understand what he was dealing with, brothers and sisters, and brought it to me. And I knew I was going to stay at it till I found out what it was. And then what God did this time, praise God, as he showed me how it works. He showed me how the witches do it because I had to dig and dig and dig and dig. I had to untangle 5 integrated forms of witchcraft because this man had developed his own. And so then, after we got to that, and after they got free, are they totally free? No. Because, see, if you know anything about Obia, the head over Obia, the head is the same logo over the nation of Jamaica. The logo, mascot, whatever you want to call it, country emblem, is a alligator. What takes the shape and form of an alligator? Leviathan, in his worst state. That would be the king over Jamaica, Leviathan. But because this guy had formed his own and educated and educated the people in the church how to do it, but they just call it operating in the power. They think it's the Holy Spirit incorporated with Kundalini. So I had my day yesterday. But guess what? I guarantee you I'll never forget it. You see, when God says, love your brother as yourself, when God says, bear ye one another's burdens, he means it. And rarely, sometimes, he will ask you to do that. You see, them people were under such mind control that, oh yeah, by the way, they had sent about 4 or 5 people to the insane asylum while taking over their finances. They don't call them asylums now. They call them, I don't know what they call them, but 4 or 5 people in the mental crazy place. And I sure hope the pastor go to the mental place where they are and set them free from that witchcraft. I don't know, 4 or 5 of them dead, and one of them demons killed that person because they didn't want to be a caregiver to a cancer patient in hospice, so they just went on and took that person out. And I don't know how many others. So what happened is that person became a sacrifice. That spirit is still in the church and it ain't going to go nowhere. It's not going anywhere. And the thing I can't understand, I'm still trying to figure all this out. The pastor said he was going to have to leave, but he said he was going to have to take time to do it. I said, let me tell you something. You're going to leave. Either you're going to leave walking, or you're going to be carried out in a casket. But you are going to leave. The choice is yours. And so then I said, why, to myself and to Jesus, I said, why is he so? He said, God sent him there. I said, brother, God don't send you nowhere for it to defeat you. I've been a missionary a long time. I've been a missionary sent into places where I couldn't even speak the language. I had to pray in tongues, and when I prayed in tongues, they understood me in their language. I said, God don't send you nowhere for you to be dog kicked and suffer in the way your wife suffered. I say, somewhere, if he sent you there, it was to overthrow all that stuff that's there. But I said to myself, God, you know, if I'm saying something wrong, you help me. You help me. I said, but And this only the second church he ever been sent to. I say, but I've been sent a lot of places around the world, around this whole world. And I've never been dogged like that. God has never let witchcraft get the upper hand on me. Witchcraft and devils and demons, never. Never. I've been through some rough spots. Brother Joe done had to pray me out of a lot of stuff. Because I just go in blind. I go in knowing that God has all power, all authority. But I don't generally suffer until after I've completed the mission. Then he'll reveal the demons I had to fight to overcome, to win. So they went home empowered, and I prayed for them. And I know God has never lost a battle. But I know that sometimes pastors forget that they're servants, and they get a little bit, that other killer, pride, full of pride, and get stomped on. So that's what happened yesterday. God, so later on, I was praying. He said, I wanted you to feel and understand the pain that I suffer because of my church. I want you to understand what Satan is doing to my servants. So I want you to understand it. Do I fully understand it? No. But I tell you what, I got a better understanding to just obey God. I got a better understanding to how he has kept me and protected me from the demons I encounter every day. I don't want him to let me experience none of this. But every now and then, when a really, really tough one comes up at where I've got to, and go get more power and authority from going through it, and where I got to understand, where I got to go do research, I got a whole better understanding of the spiritual realm. Because you see, all this was done in the spiritual realm, but none of this done in the natural. Because this man that died, he was a high level wizard and sorcerer. God said, I wanted to enforce something else to you, Erica. I said, okay. I'm not gonna get beat down again, am I? You don't have to use any pain this time, do you? He said, no, you got that. He said, but I'm going to show you where you are now and the difference between where most of the people are that you minister into. I said, okay. He said, remember when I brought you into the hidden works of darkness? I said, yes, God. He said, there's something you need to know. I said, okay. Post this in the chat room for me, somebody, about 8 people. He said, you now have a mature gift of discerning of spirits. I say, what? He said, I have made you to have now a mature gift of discerning of spirits. He said, Satan, and he said, you've been harping on people. You even put that warning out there, I told you. He said, I'm going to give you another warning for him. He said, Satan and his tactics, schemes, his evil ways cannot hide from a mature gift of discerning of spirits. He said, a mature gift of discerning of spirits reveals the hidden things of Satan. I said, God, I went through all of this to get this. I got it. He said, a mature gift of discerning of spirits exposes his ways, and it allows us to discern his spiritual forces of wickedness in high places and bring them down and destroy them. He said, Satan hates this gift because we have the ability to perceive more than him. We become wise, Erica. Wiser than the serpents. You have become, Erica, profusely aware of his schemes. Say, and you pay for it. I said, well, can you show me that in the Word of God so I can believe it? He said, yeah, go to Matthew chapter 10, verse 16. He said, there's your answer. You'll find it there. You see it? Bless my socks off. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. He said, I can get them to the gift of discerning of spirits, and I can use you in the making it mature because I have made your gift mature. Mature to the point that it reveals the hidden things of Satan. It exposes his ways. It allows us to see, know, understand, and overpower the spiritual forces of wickedness in high places. I just kind of went to sleep. I was exhausted. I just went to sleep. I just went to sleep. I couldn't do nothing else. It's a good day. It's a good time. It's a good way, and it's the only way. Jesus is the way. Now that was the bad part that turned good and great, but something else happened too. You see, some other people were here while these people were here, and the young woman had told me, she said, I knew her father was a, had been a preacher that gave up preaching. And I knew I had to deliver a message to this young woman that she was a pastor and that the call of God was on her life. And it was pretty easy, too, because she's an ex-Navy veteran. And but she had been raised by urban missionary parents. But they told me that the dad had kind of like given up on God. But the thing that intrigued me is they said that the dad had died and God had brought him back to life. And that he wasn't doing anything with it. The Holy Spirit said, not so. It's not supposed to be like that. The mantle has fallen on the daughter. I said, okay. I said, would you ask your father when you get back home if I could speak with him? Now, the mama said, he probably ain't going to want to talk to you. And the daughter said, he might. Well, brothers and sisters, something happened to that daughter and that mama while they were here. The daughter accepted the call, and the daughter was getting ready because the daughter had already been in seminary. She was born in seminary, as a matter of fact, but later on went back. But she was 6 months from graduating when she went in the Navy. She had been very rebellious, and I knew that was because it must have been a heavy, heavy anointing and a heavy call on the father. And so as I'm waking up from everything that had happened, the daughter sent me a text and said, my dad said he will talk to you. I said, In the meantime, my friend, y'all know Pastor Terry Jefferson, he sent me a text. And he said, Dr. Erica, he said, is there such a thing that you know of, a spirit called prodigal? I texted him back. I said, well, I've never encountered it. I said, but if you encounter it, let me know how it works. So he texted me back again, and he said about a lot of people, the world has come into the church, but the people haven't left the building. I don't know if that was a vision he had or what. I got to call him today. I might even, I can't go anywhere right now. I can't go anywhere because God is feeding me and I'm on this. I gotta know more about this mature gift of discerning of spirits. But anyway, Pastor Terry left me with that. So I wasn't gonna call the man, and God said, call him right now. I called him. This man died. It's a wonderful story because he was young and he died in a foreign prison because he was running drugs in and out the United States. He wasn't saved then. That's how he got saved. And he died and was taken out of his body. And the story is so fascinating. I asked him, I said, would you come on my tailline and give your testimony? Because Jesus not only brought him back to life, visited him himself, Jesus takes him out, took him out in the spirit realm, but he started a church, and the church didn't go over, and he gave up. And he was very, very successful in, of all things, television. Television. And the mom said, she said, you know, you said he was a prodigal. To them, I had forgot. See, so much stuff happens day to day with me. I just go on to the next thing. And then Pastor Terry texts me about prodigal. And so after I got this man, I mean, miracles, signs, wonders, everything followed him. Back in the day, he's 76. I told him, I said, I'm 71. He said, it was hard for me to find you. I said, that's because I put the ministry in front of me. I'm not trying to make a name for myself. I'm trying to make Jesus' name known to everybody I can. He said, oh. And the reason he did that is because he was going to make sure his daughter wasn't coming to see some quack. But he said when his daughter came home, the presence of God was so heavy in his house, it overwhelmed him. And he said, it's such a good feeling talking to you and being overpowered by the Spirit of God through the phone. I said, likewise, brother, likewise. He told me all about, and you see, I could trust what he said because it wasn't no money. He wasn't trying to sell no books. Only thing he was concerned about was the safety of his daughter. But when his daughter came back so full of God, so full of the presence of God, I said to him, you're going to come back. He said to me, he said, it's going to take a burning bush to make me come back to God. I said, oh, well, I sure am glad you're familiar with Moses. He knows all about burning bushes. I said, but be that as it may. I said, you know, and you've experienced God's ability. You know the realness of Jesus. You know the realness of God. He said, I do. He said, even although I left God, he never left me. He said, and I was beginning to feel a pull in my spirit. I said, yeah. I said, because I told your daughter, you her covering. I said, I suggested, man, you know, if you want to go back to school, maybe online, but you got to build a church. I said, you got to help your daughter build a church. He got quiet. It was such a beautiful, godly, precious, spiritual conversation. God bless me. God bless me for everything I went through, for every pain I felt. Oh, yeah, by the way, the pastor's wife had crippler. Crippler mimics arthritis. Crippler causes pain in your body. And that was a little way God let me know what happened. That was crippler does that. So I said to the lady, I said, what is with this pain stuff here? She said, oh, they diagnosed me about 4 weeks ago with rheumatoid arthritis. I cast out crippler. That lady joints loosen up. I told the brother, I said, God is waiting for you to come back home. God blessed him to be successful in his business. Even although he was a backslider. He said, I'm a backslider. I said, you know what? Just slide on back to Jesus. He's waiting for you. And that's when I found this song, Just As I Am. God is good. Life is good. You gotta don't get paused by what's in the middle. Don't get paused by what you see. Because God said there's a mature gift of discerning of spirit. Now, I've been discerning a long time. I mean, I had that gift when I didn't even know the name of it. I had that gift. I had the gift of faith. I had a word of wisdom and a word of knowledge when I didn't even know what they were. I didn't know how they were. When I found out, I said, oh, yeah, okay, I do that. I've been doing that since I was a kid. And so have some of you. It's a new day. And God loves you, and he's called you just as you are. But understand something. Serving God has a price. And you know what the price is? All of you. All of you. And you know what the reward is? Nothing missing, nothing lacking, and made whole. I just want to share that with you this morning, let you know what happened, what's happening. But I want to share this again. To Jason Crabb.
I've been trying to figure out what it means to be human, flesh and bone, spirit and soul. If I cannot earn your love by trying to measure love, why do I think I'd lose it in the news? Somehow you see through my heart, and you welcome me with open arms, just as I am. In the good and the bad, you still understand, and you never stop loving me, just as I am. With the heart of the Father and grace like no other, you never stop loving me, just as I am. You've been patient with my wondering, always knowing what I need. With a gentle hand, you show me where to go. But there hasn't been a moment you weren't calling out to me. Home, just as I am, in the good and the bad, you still understand that you never stop loving me, just as I am, with the heart of the Father, and grace like no other, oh, you never stop loving me, oh, just as I am. I just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you for loving me. I just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you for loving me. I just want to say thank you. Just as I am, with the heart of the Father, and the grace of the Lord, you are so
I don't want to forget to tell you this part. God said, the mission, I'm sending you my prodigals, and I want you to train them. I'll give you each one. I'll give you, it was funny too. He said, I'll give you what they need. And I trust you to give it to them. I'm sending you my prodigals. This is the first one. I've probably ministered to others, but now, you see, God's going to send them. That makes it so much better. When God sends them, half the job is already done. Once again, it's just going to require obedience, strict obedience, to impart to them whatever God says they're in need of.
Happy as a little child,
I've got it.
got a brand new dog. I'm a
Jesus in my life.
I've got the real thing.
Jesus in my life.
I've got it. I've
got it. I've got it.
A brand new dog.
Wow, we got it, the real thing, the real thing. I'm still, I'm so impressed with Jesus. I am. I'm so impressed with Jesus. I'm just, you know what I'm impressed with, really? How much he loves us? Really? He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. But he ain't tell you. He didn't tell you what you might have to go through. It don't matter. He loves us. You, Jesus, love us. That's what's important. He loves us. He loves us.
The second man.